So tell us about this research out today. A lot of young kids out there worried, aren't they?
Yeah, the Kellogg's research has shown that over a fifth of children lost sleep and 17 couldn't eat because of nerves on the morning of their exam. So it is quite worrying.
So obviously getting around the side of the, you know, whether we should have SATs anyway and all that kind of debate, they're here, they're a reality. So what can we do to help our kids?
I think making sure they get a good night's sleep is absolutely key. Making sure that they're eating a good breakfast before the exams, whether that's at home or in the breakfast clubs. Making sure that they're doing normal everyday things. They're not too excited. They're not feeling the pressure and they've got plenty of downtime. They're all sort of key things. And making sure that parents, if you do notice a sort of a worrying change in your child's behaviour, if you do think they seem anxious or stressed, talk to them. It's the easiest thing. And talk to them while you're doing something non-threatening, like playing a game or going for a walk or cooking tea together. Make it not a sort of Q&A interrogation, but just give them some opportunities to tell you what's on their mind.
Because some of the results from today's research, 16 of 10 to 11-year-olds in the poll sample admitted to having smoked cigarettes. I mean, learning how to cope with exams is an important life skill. You don't want to kind of send them off looking at other things like alcohol or cigarettes as a crutch. That's a completely bad message. So we've got to get this exam preparation right from the start, haven't we?
And that's exactly the message that I want to give out. It's about giving children right from an early age the opportunity to learn how to develop those skills to cope with stressful situations and cope with pressure. Resilience is the key word. Life isn't perfect, so we need to be able to prepare children to cope when things go wrong and also to thrive in pressure situations like job interviews and exams. But you don't want to do it all at once. You don't expect a 4-year-old or a 6-year-old or even a 10-year-old to have those skills right from the start. You need to build them up very gradually over time in an age-appropriate way so that they develop the right skills and a positive approach, like looking after themselves, getting enough sleep, eating sensibly, and don't turn to the more dangerous coping strategies.
Do you think we, as parents as well, because we do so want the best for our kids, we have to kind of think again about exam preparation? You know, do we put too much pressure on our kids? Do we have to look at ourselves?
I think the research showed that quite a lot of parents, sort of 45% of parents, were worried about their children's SATs. And a lot of the children were saying that the parents were the cause of their stress. Actually, more of the children said that the teachers were the source of the stress, because the teachers themselves are the ones who I think suffer most in terms of the stress around SATs.
Yeah, let's bring John in at this point from the National Institute for Primary Education. Are schools partly to blame for all the stress and anxiety? Are they getting too bogged down in the stress of it all and not realising the impact they're having on kids, do you think?
Well, there's no doubt that there's a great deal of pressure both on parents and teachers as adults. And we can't help it. We try not to. And certainly primary teachers, as a breed, are very kind people. And they don't want to put stress on children. But the stakes are very heavy about these national tests. You said they're always with us, but they needn't necessarily be. We live and work in a democracy. And when parents make their views clear, and of course the Kellogg's research, which Amanda has quoted, is worrying. And when parents make their views known, then governments will listen. Children are tested all the time in school. Of course they are. Every time I hear a child read, I'm testing him. I'm trying to reach into his or her mind to see how they can interpret print and understand it in front of them. I'm testing for learning. These are not tests for learning. These are tests for the reputation and the performance of the school. And it's overdone, and we should put an end to it.
So that argument that's out there, that's in the media as well, do you think that's not helping kids either? When they, you know, because youth, people out there might think, oh, kids, they're young as 10, they won't understand what's going on. But kids do know what's going on, don't they? They pick up, don't they?
Yes, they do. And it mustn't be exaggerated for them. It's not the end of the world. The stakes are far higher for the teachers and the head teachers than they are for the children. So we must try to cut down the amount of testing in primary schools and let primary teachers develop active ways of learning with the children. Children learn from all their experiences. Everything that happens to them, both in and out of school, they're learning all the time. We can raise standards in this country if we'll only match what we're doing to the nature of the children. But incidentally, could I add that you were we're talking about the Kellogg's research that they sponsored, but Kellogg's also make a very material contribution to improving the children's well-being on the day of their tests, because they fund and provide breakfast clubs. 50,000 children would enjoy a decent breakfast this morning and the rest of the week because Kellogg's have supported them.
I was reading on social media last week, this lady, a teacher in a primary school, had given her kids homework ahead of the SATs week by saying that they must go for walks, smile more often, you know, fun things like that. You know, there are some great examples of good primary teachers out there preparing their kids for SATs, aren't there?
Oh, yes, there are. There are indeed. If we can only lessen the pressure on the schools. The pressure doesn't necessarily raise standards at all. It, in fact, harms the achievement of standards. We can do a lot better if we cut down the amount of testing in primary schools by at least two-thirds. Parents are now making their voices clear. On the 3rd of May, hundreds of parents withdrew their children because they wanted to send a message to government that you should not be testing sixes and seven-year-olds like this. And we must hope, and I'm sure it will happen, government must listen.
But in the immediate term, all SATs all this week, what would be the key message from both of you to help the kids and their parents and their teachers out there? What would be the key thing you'd like to leave with our listeners?
So I would try and keep things normal for the children, make sure they're getting a decent night's sleep, make sure they're eating breakfast, whether that's at home or the breakfast clubs, and make sure that they are it's as normal a part of their everyday life as possible, so it's not made into, you know, it's not taken out of perspective.
And John?
Well, just send your child to school and say, just do your best. You're not passing or failing anything. Just do your best, and that's all we can ask of you. That's all we ask of everyone. And if your school doesn't have a breakfast club, and they are very valuable in primary education, then my advice is to go on the website, www.giveachildabreakfast.co.uk, and you'll find all the information you need in order to set up what will be a very worthwhile offering by your local school.
Brilliant. All right, guys, that's all my questions. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.